Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Jeff, CM Punk is going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania.
Yes.
And that's not the only side that I want to talk about too, because Jeff, Cody Rhodes is going to get booed out of the building at WrestleMania.
What is going on?
This is going to be really weird. But the problem with the CM Punk side, okay, like Randy Orton, they turned him heel. They're going to have to do something because he's going to be cheered so crazy at WrestleMania. He's back in the main event picture. Randy Orton hasn't been in this level for a while, where he's been in the main event picture going into the big shows and like a serious contender for being in the big picture. He had the match at the Crown Jewel with, was it King of the Ring or Crown Jewel, whatever it was, with Cody Rhodes. So he's had the one-on-one match where they were both baby faces going into it. This feels like a big thing, the first big thing Randy Orton's been a part of in a long time. But the CM Punk problem is not only is he going to get booed out of the building, but I darn well think that Roman Reigns might too.
Yes.
This
it
is gonna
feels
be...
like there's nothing to cheer for in and, this main program.
And we were like, okay, let CM Punk talk us into like just not being able to wait for this main event. Give them talking segments. These two shouldn't have a talking segment together for the rest of the way. And Roman Reigns is just divulging right back into like just bury the Usos and pretend they're his young boys. And Jey Uso's just kind of standing around taking it. Jimmy Uso is like, yes, sir.
The Usos are being jerks. LA Knight's being a jerk. Everybody's being a jerk. Everybody's calling each other old. I kind of want Gunther to just come out and retire everybody at this point.
I mean... There's so many different things going on here that are like, what are they doing? Because, and I don't want a fantasy book like where it should be going. I'm just reacting to what's actually happening here is Jey Uso is being kind of a dick and he does that thing where you're like, man, I hope he stands up to Roman, but we already had that. Mm-hmm. Like we had it twice.
There's no mystery to the Usos and Roman. None.
But why are we putting the tension between the Usos and Roman when it's Roman and CM Punk in the main event of WrestleMania? If you want to do this afterwards, going into like Backlash or something, go for it. But the tension should not be between Roman and the Usos right now. And the question shouldn't be like, oh, what side is Jey Uso going to pick when it comes to WrestleMania? Like that, and they're not really like 100% going into that story on TV, but that's where a lot of fans' minds are going, is like, is Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso going to be the ones who decide the winner of the main event of WrestleMania? But this should be Roman versus CM Punk, but every time they banter against each other, I get the idea, Jeff. The idea seems simple. Mm-hmm. Every week, you know, this week it's CM Punk's turn to go one notch above with the dead father line.
Yes.
This week it's Roman Reigns' turn to go just one notch above. And then it's CM Punk's turn to go on. Everyone's going to go one notch above until you're like, man, I just want these guys to fight it out and see who the better man is. But adding tension with the Usos involved in the ring, like it's not just outside before they come into the ring, the Usos are having some tension with Roman Reigns. No, inside the ring in the main event segment, when the Usos, Who knows if they're actually going to wrestle the Vision at WrestleMania, because we have that match coming up now all of a sudden. Like, what the heck is going on, Jeff? And now you may speak. Welcome to the show, everybody.
It's raising the tension, but it's raising the it's like if you ever like went to high school or middle school.
I did.
And two kids were going to fight, but you didn't like either of those kids. So you're awesome. Just hoping that they oh, look. And it's like, well, and number one, they're just talking about it. They're not fighting. They're just doing it. And then next thing you know, it's getting uncomfortable watching them going back and forth. And you're just like, well, one of you just please. Actually, could you just both just beat the tar out of each other and then, you know, both leave the school forever because we don't want to see either of you.
To go further on that analogy, and this happens in every once in a while in a movie, right, is like, yeah, everyone wants to see these two kids fight, and then they're like bored by it, and they all just start walking to class as the two are still staring off. Like, I'm worried if people are going to be walking out. Like, they're not going to be, obviously. They paid $13,000 to get their tickets.
No, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to do an Oba chant during this thing and hope that Oba comes out.
Are you happy? Maybe it's too early to bring this up. We have time. Are you happy that it seems like the same way the what chants have turned into other things, not on the same level, obviously, but people do chant yeah for LA Knight, and they chant other things mm-hmm. going on here. Will Oba take over like the Goldberg chants? Not that they're running rampant anymore, but I feel like this generation is going to forget all about the Goldberg chants, and here it is, Oba. Like,
yes,
here's the guy.
Yeah, did you see the kids doing the dance on Monday?
They're doing the dance.
It is there, man. They love it. It's possibly the most exciting thing going into this Mania right now, for me at least.
Oh, actually, we should ask that question here coming up, but let's talk more about the CM Punk Roman Reigns. So not only do you have the Usos, not only do you have the Usos who are kind of LA playing Knight. Their part into this again. Yeah, what's the question with LA Knight? Will LA Knight have a singles match at WrestleMania? Will LA Knight be ending up wrestling Seth Rollins? Will Bron Breakker be coming back? And if Bron Breakker was going to come back, I thought this week was going to be the Raw to do it. Mm-hmm. Because we're running out of time. Maybe they're playing it day by day. Maybe it's going to end up being another Seth Rollins open challenge and Bron Breakker shows up the day of. Maybe they're going to get, they have to get someone else. Maybe it's going to be Seth Rollins, Joe Hendry for all I care. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of questions going on here, but yeah, bringing the Usos in, Jay and Jimmy kind of playing, you know, will they team? Will they not team? They got to make up their minds too, right? It's because they wanted to go back in the tag team scene. Jey Uso was dedicating himself in the tag team scene. But then Elimination Chamber came and the Royal Rumble came, and Jimmy's like, you got to be main event Jimmy, you know, Jey Uso again. And then they're back in the tag team scene because they're going up against the Vision. And now Jimmy's like, man, Jey Uso, you are the main event. You are the singles champion. What is going on here? Do they not want to team up? Do they start teaming and then Jimmy and Jey are like, man, this we kind of hate each other, don't we? I don't want to do this anymore. We should be singles. What's going on?
You know, even outside of the wrestling world, it feels like they're trying to make Yeet happen again. Did you see the Netflix baseball last night?
Oh, I watched the Netflix baseball. I have watched all of the baseball that has happened in the last 18 hours. All of it. And believe me, I saw all of the Netflixing that was going on during that Netflix. Yeah, Jimmy Uso was there, or Jey Uso was there. I thought Jimmy Uso was there, but come to find out during their interview, it was actually Jacob Fatu the whole time. So yeah, they were there at the game. Jameis Winston, I tell you what, media superstar in the making, that guy.
He has personality.
He has so much personality to the point where I'm like, stop being a quarterback, bro. You got, the next line is coming.
It feels like, though, that Roman Punk is going to be one of those matches where it's like a cast of thousands, millions of people running in and crap. And you're just like, God.
Which a CM Punk match, I mean, all the credit to CM Punk for this. CM Punk does not need the run-ins and all the bullshit. CM Punk doesn't need that. He's never needed that. He's never needed the run-in. His match with John Cena when he was leaving the company, it was all about CM Punk and John Cena and what would happen with the belt. There were no run-ins during the match. There was Johnny Ace getting laid out, and there was Vince McMahon standing there, but no wrestler run-ins during the match. Last year, CM Punk, yeah, Paul Heyman came in and played a part in the finish, but no run-ins, no craziness. CM Punk has never needed that. Undertaker, all the big matches CM Punk has been in. Roman Reigns needs that sometimes. That's fine. The match Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, I think that was one of the most fun 5-minute segments in a WrestleMania history. But you know why it was super fun? Because you never get to see it. And it never happens all the time. If they're going to try to remake the moment of Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns from 2 years ago and have that with CM Punk and you have The Rock come out or all these different names come out, I don't see it ending well. Maybe you have Steve Austin come out for all I care too. And maybe he stuns CM Punk because by the end of the night, CM Punk's going to be a heel.
I think, see, that's not the worst idea in the world, but I still think Punk is, or Austin is.
Well, it's not an idea. It's going to be what happens. CM Punk will be a heel by the end of this match. Whether he is the next night or not is anyone's question.
Yes, and his plan is working because he laughed after getting the crap beat out of him by Roman and the Usos.
CM Punk has been laughing. Roman Reigns has been laughing because they're getting in each other's heads. And yes, they're in each other's heads. Guess what? Now you have to be in each other's ring and wrestle. And there's still, 3 weeks left? There's at least 2 weeks left of Raws. Are they just going to talk in the main event segment again, stand there and let, you know, the words fly again? Are they going to have to be keeping separated? Is Roman Reigns going to be on the opening of one show, CM Punk the main event of one show, and they keep each other separated somehow? Because I don't want to see these two in the ring at the same time. I guess the Raw before WrestleMania, yeah, they should probably be in the ring at the same time. But it's been, 3 straight weeks now on Raw? Where those two have main evented the segments with talking back and forth.
I don't mind talking back and forth. Get out of the ring talking back and forth. Give me a split screen so I know that you guys aren't anywhere near each other.
Something. I'm fine with them talking at each. Well, I don't even know if I am. I don't want them talking.
I don't either because it's so weird at times because it's like you're talking about you're talking above things. You're doing symbolic things about the fourth wall that nobody really knows all that much about. It's like they know the story and they're doing it for an audience who is like, what are they talking about right now?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me at times.
Do a contract. Have they done a contract signing? Did I forget about a contract signing that they've done? Do a weigh-in of some sort.
You know what we need is we need 2 contract signings in the same week between them and then MJF and Kenny Omega. Because then it won't feel the same across the board.
We'll get to this MJF here in a little bit. But yeah, that was the weirdness on Raw. I mean, they continue to do the talking segments with Roman and CM Punk, and they just... I feel like at every show, and you can't blame one particular crowd for being a weird crowd because it's happening so far the last 3 weeks, every time they've been in the ring talking at each other is the crowd at the end is 1 confused on who they should like better.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 kind of healing on both of them at times. And this week was the first time where I thought they were kind of healing on Roman Reigns a little bit too, because he was being a dick to Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. And they're confused why the Usos are there and why are they standing up against CM Punk? Like they apologize, they did all this stuff. The crowds are getting a little anti-Roman in a little bit of ways too, to where you get to WrestleMania and you get to Las Vegas. Not going to be talking on that show. They're going to be hyped for the entrances. They're going to be hyped for in the ring. And that's when you're going to understand who the crowd really actually wants to win. And I think 60-40 at minimum, they are going to be on Roman Reigns' side.
But it's not the only program where this was confusing on that Monday night because, we have Becky Lynch and AJ Lee.
And they make
that program, and I liked that back and forth. It was pretty good. And then we get the Heyman-Seth Rollins thing where Heyman goes, yeah, and then Becky Lynch is going to end up marrying half the locker room, and I'm going to raise your kid. And I'm like, she is the heel in the other feud. Why isn't Becky Lynch coming out to beat the crap out of Paul Heyman right now? Because that's the receipt I want to see, kind of, as opposed to Seth Rollins.
She's fixated on AJ. She wasn't going to even, she probably wasn't even listening. She was fixated on AJ. AJ Lee also not one that is a monster baby face. AJ's always been better as a heel. Even we're getting a little bit away now from the honeymoon period of her return. And there's going to have to be a decision. Like if AJ Lee is going to continue to wrestle after WrestleMania, is it going to be as a heel? And I could see that happening if she remains champion. I could see that happening if it remains champion. But babyface AJ Lee doesn't work for a long time.
I was the best when I left, and now everybody liked me, and I was your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. And you're like, well, let's not push it, AJ.
Right. She may have been the best when she left. The problem is they were getting a whole lot better once she left.
Yes.
All the big guns came in once she was gone. Yeah, so you had that. You used to talk about Paul Heyman, right, on the Raw this week. We had Paul Heyman coming out saying, I'm just a man. I am at my wit's end with Seth Rollins. And then Seth Rollins appears. Seth Rollins, long story short, gets arrested. And he evades the police once, beats Paul Heyman up, then gets rearrested. So we're back to arrest angles here on TV. Where could this be going? Because they certainly keep it going towards the Paul Heyman side of Seth Rollins to where I think Bron Breakker is going to try to be in this match.
Mm-hmm.
But when does that actually happen? Or does Paul Heyman, you could always do the wild card up your sleeve and Paul Heyman brings in some other guy, makes a deal with some other guy to have the match at Seth Rollins. But it certainly looks like Seth Rollins is wrestling at WrestleMania. Who it'll be against, we all presume it'll be Bron Breakker. Is it possible it'll be someone else? But what'd you think of Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins and the return of arrests?
The restraining order that has never been served on the person getting arrested. Giant hole.
Just shows up. Hey, oh, by the way, there's a restraining order here. Doesn't matter that he also works here.
Yes.
Like, this isn't like a public place where Seth Rollins just wanted to go to the sidewalk and wanted to walk into a Burger King and Paul Heyman was there and Seth Rollins didn't leave. Like, they work there.
Yeah,
I need the lawyers in the room to tell me what are the rules when someone works at the same location.
I was with you. I thought this was the week. I thought when the guy got on the table, I thought that might be Braun under there at first. And then he reveals himself, and then Paul just kind of laughs or whatever, and then Seth comes out. But what's going to happen, I think, is Seth is going to do that same standing on the table gimmick, and then Braun's going to come out his first week back and spear him through the announce table or whatever. And we'll see if everybody's not injured.
I know. I almost think, like, you can't. I don't know if you really want Bron Breakker doing anything physical before WrestleMania.
No.
And with the injury he had, probably shouldn't be doing much of anything at WrestleMania either. But that certainly seems like the direction we're still going in, because Brock Lesnar has a match with Obafemi. In theory, Brock Lesnar would be the one that Paul Heyman would bring in. And we had that kind of tease last week on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure the Usos versus the Vision is still probably happening, or else they would be completely going sideways on that. I don't see the Vision lasting very long, because even if Bron Breakker comes back, like, because he was out for the last 3 months, I think you separate Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman and just let them go one-on-one, or not separately, like have Paul Heyman be the spokesman for Bron Breakker, even though Bron Breakker's great on the mic. Like I said, he's a top five promo in AEW. I don't think you keep the Vision, the rest of the Vision, Logan Paul and Austin Theory with Bron Breakker. And when Bronson Reed returns, maybe you put him back with Bron, or maybe you have him come back just by himself because Bronson's going to be out for a while. This seems like naturally a time where you can do the separation without it being a bunch of people turning on each other and just have them go their own ways. For all I care, let Logan Paul and Austin Theory be a tag team called The Vision. And then you just have Bron Breakker come back under the tutelage of Paul Heyman. But this seems like a good time to break everything up.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were doing, because like the Vision came out there, no Paul Heyman, but they were talking about Paul Heyman all night. And it's like, well, that
right.
felt like a
yeah.
natural break to me. That felt like, okay, they're going on their own. They don't want they want Heyman with Brock so that Oba can get the shine
right.
of being against the guy in the Paul Heyman family, or whatever we're going to call this.
You should just call it the Don Callis family, even though he's
the
not
Don
there.
Callis
you just should. Just expand it. Why not? It's not big enough. Let it cross promotions.
Oba shouldn't lose or ever get beat up by Brock in this entire feud.
At no point should he take a bump.
No, he should
like,
run
really.
Through him. He should just run through him.
And here's the thing about Brock Lesnar. I don't think Brock Lesnar would be opposed to getting squashed, because it means he's out. He got his money. He's out of there quick. I don't think he's opposed to getting squashed. That's what you should do. This match should not go 8 to 10 minutes. This match shouldn't go 15 minutes. This match should open up the show with Obafemi winning in 2 minutes flat, Goldberg style, in the main event of Survivor Series.
He should lose and then come back and then lose to Gunther and then go on his merry way. That's it. That's the script.
Yeah. Speaking of Gunther, seems like they were headed towards Rey Mysterio and Gunther this year at WrestleMania, but Rey Mysterio might not be able to make the show due to injury. So now we talked a little bit about it last week. Gunther versus Penta, potentially, maybe a multi-man match for the Intercontinental Championship. Maybe you go some other direction completely. Maybe it ends up having to be Gunther versus Seth Rollins. But where do you see everything going on with Penta and the Intercontinental Championship coming out of this week's Raw?
Multi-person schmoz. I would much rather you put Gunther and have him retire, quote unquote, retire Jelly Roll from wrestling, but that's me. I just think the Intercontinental title is going to be that, we're going to put six people in a match and let them do a bunch of spots and we'll make the crowd pleasing. That's it.
Yeah, maybe. You don't have the Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania anymore. You don't really do the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You do that the night before on SmackDown these days. So you don't have those big multi-man matches that can get a lot of people at WrestleMania. So here's your chance to do that. Of course, we're probably going to get some type of 3-4-5-person match with the Wyatt Six and the MFTs at WrestleMania. So that'll be your match that gets a lot of guys on TV.
They get on Mania? I don't. I think they get on
I think it's the SmackDown before. But if you want to get a lot of people, like we said, there's still a lot of room on this card. Because if you don't do that match at WrestleMania, and we've had these three ways, you've had the Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin multi-man tags before on WrestleMania with Karrion Kross. They're like, it's not that big of a match, but we have time. We got to fill up seven matches per night.
Okay.
So you could have a little bit of that. You could have, you know, Ilya going for the U.S. Championship. You have a U.S. Championship match either on this one or the SmackDown before. So there's a lot of those tweener matches that you just don't know what day they're particularly going to be on. But speaking of the SmackDown side, yes, Cody Rhodes is going to get booed out of the building. Randy Orton is a superhero. Randy Orton beating up Matt Cardona is the biggest thing Matt Cardona has done since his return. And now, I mean, when Matt Cardona re-debuted, you would have thought, okay, this is best chance now to ever get a singles match at WrestleMania. Dude's not going to be in a match at WrestleMania.
No.
And Randy Orton is getting cheered like crazy. In Vegas, Randy Orton is going to get cheered like crazy.
Let me ask you this, because it's been on my mind. Would it have been better to just have brought him back as Zack Ryder with a different coat of paint?
I mean, unless you thought you're going to make all your money back by selling merch with Matt Cardona right off the gate. Maybe they did. Maybe they did pretty well.
Like, what percentage of that audience knows who Matt Cardona is?
But they know. Yeah, I don't think it matters what you name him. You could have named him Bob Smith coming back. You know, you see it. You know who it is. And he matters just as much as Zack Ryder did, because Zack Ryder didn't mean anything.
Right. But he at least had like headbands and the woo woo. And yeah, people kind of, you know, he got a bit over as that. Like, you can't deny that. But Matt Cardona, indie god to the WWE universe, who cares?
Well, because they're not really selling that he was an indie god either.
Right.
It's not about telling the audience what he did while he was gone. It's showing the new character on TV. That's what Cody Rhodes did when he came back.
Okay.
It's not like, oh, Cody Rhodes went off for 3 years and this is what he did. No, you saw it. You saw it on TV.
Yes.
You're not seeing that with Matt Cardona.
No, that's a very
Zack
good
Ryder
point.
With a different name.
No, they educated the audience on what Cody Rhodes was during the Mania match, during his long walk down,
you
during his
it.
Intro. Yes, you could
but
see
it. But you have
it.
To see it. You have to
yes.
see Drew McIntyre is the same kind of thing. You saw a new Drew McIntyre when he came back. You didn't see the Drew McIntyre that was in 3MB. You didn't
the Drew
just
Galloway
have to be told.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah, you just didn't have to be told what he did. This guy was in TNA and ROH and all these places. No, you saw it when he returned. It'd be like Curt Hawkins coming back as Brian Myers. It would not matter what his name is if he's presented the same way as Curt Hawkins was.
Correct.
It just does not matter. But yeah, on that SmackDown side, Randy Orton, this Las Vegas crowd is going to make or break, I think, the way we remember this WrestleMania. That was not the case last year. That was not the case the year before. Where was it? In Philadelphia or wherever it was. This crowd's going to make or break this WrestleMania, I feel like, because of how they react to some of these superstars that are coming up. It's the Usos. It's Roman Reigns. It's Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. They may not make or break what the summer of WWE is, but how we remember this show, I think they're going to play a bigger part than many crowds have ever played a part, especially in a WrestleMania.
Both of these matches, and I don't think they're going to do both on Mania. They'll probably save one for the Raw after Mania, so that'll be the Punk Roman side. Both of these feel like setup story matches. Like at the end, here's the new big heel stable that's helping Roman. Here's the new or face stable that's helping Roman and heel stable that's helping Punk. Here's the heel stable for Randy Orton that's going to pull the horseman dusty thing, but never really do it that well type of thing. It feels like both of these end in an angle versus holding up the belt and stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here's the bad guys for the rest of the year or whatever type of thing. It doesn't feel like an ending to the year. It feels like they're doing the beginning of the year on both, as opposed to doing the end at Mania and then doing the reset on the show afterwards.
I can't say that. I'm not going to go that far because we won't know. It's going to feel like a setup until we watch the show. If that's the way the show ends, then yeah, you know what that felt like? It felt like the match didn't matter, which Triple H has a tendency to do sometimes, and sometimes by default, just because we've talked about it at War Games, like the War Games match didn't matter. It's all about getting you through until the next pay-per-view, and the match doesn't have any meaning. These matches are going to have meaning. If they end up being, you know, Randy Orton has a new heel stable, and then also Roman Reigns brought his bloodline back, and the bloodline is a program again, or maybe you go to Uso Roman. We'll see when the show happens. Right now, it does not feel that way. To me, it feels like Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes are the main event, and I want to see how the crowd responds. I don't really see other players getting involved in that. We have Randy Orton now teasing with his phone calls, like there could be other people that are somewhat involved here. I'm not reading into that being a new legacy or a new stable by any means.
Okay.
But on the Raw side, yeah. Are they teasing that the bloodline is going to come back and be a thing? Are they just teasing that there's no way the bloodline returns and Jey Uso again breaks away from Roman Reigns and kind of sees what CM Punk has been saying because Roman Reigns is starting to be that dick to the Usos again? We're going to have some questions about what happens during these matches, but that's the same thing we've always had. Especially 2 years ago when the main event of Saturday was literally a promo segment for what the main event of Sunday would be with The Rock and Roman Reigns tag team match. So yes, we've had that more so than what we're going to have here. I really want to see the Roman CM Punk match. I think it could be really exciting for a lot of different factors. You know, CM Punk's not a great wrestler in the ring, but he brings an aura with him that Roman Reigns has also had for several years. So when those two clash, it's going to be something. And then, I do want to see what Randy Orton's going to do. I want to see how that crowd responds to him. I'm excited about these main events. Will still be excited about these main events, but there's got to be some people out there that are probably less excited because of the way these two have back and forth it the last few weeks on Raw. I know the crowd's getting a little restless. So the Las Vegas crowd is going to play a part in what we remember this night as, because was it CM Punk just being babyface from beginning to end and finally, you know, getting basically his goal for the last 3 years since returning effectively was proving that he's the guy and Roman Reigns isn't. Like, I would love that to be the story of this match more. CM Punk returning and like, Roman Reigns, you were the guy while I was gone, but now it's my turn. Now I'm your worst nightmare. I came back and took your throne that you thought you had settled. You know, The Rock came back and you thought you had your throne settled and there was some turmoil there. And now I'm the dude back. I would have loved that playing a part in the last 3 years. They did that a little bit with their first promo battle, like going back in the history of Roman Reigns being brought up. But the last 2 weeks about dead dads and about brothers and about cousins and about all this, get back to like, I'm CM Punk and I took your throne, bro, and you're not going to get it back.
Yeah, make it more personal. Actually, you know what? You being that excited about the Punk match, and when you said he's not the best wrestler in the world, I thought about that in kind of vis-a-vis that Omega Swerve match on Wednesday. There's going to be a point in that Roman Punk match, and this is where the old thing comes in, where Punk's going to be tired halfway to three-quarters of the way.
So.
And he's going to look
I
like...
Hope so.
he's going to look like he's an old man trying to fight Roman. And that's where his offense will fit, and it'll be awesome, yes, I think. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's not the greatest wrestler, but they've done a really good job of... I mean, he's had good matches since he's come back. I mean, the match with Gunther was good. But that's what he's been. That was what he was in the match with Gunther. Like, he just finds a way at the end. But the thing is, Roman Reigns has done a lot of that too, where Roman Reigns struggles to survive and then finds a way to survive. So what gives in this match? And then, what are the Usos going to do? What are they going to do going into this? I'm trying to bring up my calendar. So April 18th or April 19th is the Sunday WrestleMania. 3 weeks later is Backlash. Mm-hmm. Like, there's literally 3 weeks from WrestleMania to this next pay-per-view, and you're going to have to get into things really quick. I envision Backlash again being what it used to be, where there's a lot of rematches, because how are you going to start new storylines that quickly with 2 weeks of build for it? So I feel like we're going to get a lot of rematches. Is Roman Reigns still here? Is Roman Reigns the champ wrestling? Because right now there are no superstars being advertised for Backlash. The only two for the Saturday night's main event coming up 2 weeks after that are Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. And I assume that's just because those are the champions right now. But Backlash has no superstars. We don't know who's going to be there. Will Roman Reigns be the champion? Will CM Punk be the champion? And will they be rematching? We have a quick turnaround to the next show.
Yeah, but it's Backlash in Italy, right? Is it Tampa, Italy? Tampa? Oh, my fault.
Tampa, Florida.
I was thinking B pay-per-view with four matches and one rematch, possibly. I didn't see anything about this thing.
Yeah, I would imagine Backlash. So it's May 9th. It's a Saturday. It is in Tampa. And then Saturday night's main event is 2 weeks after that in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So they announced this Fort Wayne Saturday night's main event for Memorial Weekend. And it's already being overshadowed because they haven't announced it yet, but heavy rumors suggest during Fanatics Fest later on in the summer in July, Saturday night's main event will take place at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we just got to get through this shitty Fort Wayne crowd to get to the real big event of Madison Square Garden.
We just have to please Rob McCarron, who's at home and not even going.
I ain't going. I'm going to be on a boat. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on a boat during the start of this show. So
you
I am
are just
not going
traveling
to the show.
All over the
well, I tell you what. There's lakes. We have water in Indiana. We're not just corn. We do have lakes here. It'll be the start of summer, so that water will be up to a nice warm 65 degrees. Ugh. But yeah, that's May. It's May. I don't know if you swim, Jeff, but 65 is not warm.
No.
But that's where about we'll be at the end of May. So yeah, there's a lot going on to this WrestleMania right now. We have, I think we had one added match since the last time we talked officially. That's AJ Lee and Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Obafemi and Brock, of course. We still have the two main events that we've talked about ad nauseum. We have Stephanie Vaquer and Liv Morgan, Jade Cargill and Rhea Ripley. And then a lot of the assumed matches, you know, what's Seth Rollins going to do? I think this week pretty much cleared the way for Dominic Mysterio versus Finn Balor. We're getting that one on one of the nights as well. Trick Williams, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Jacob Fatu. And then, yeah, what happens with the United States Championship? Is Ilya going to get a shot? And then, yeah, U.S. Championship match on the women's side. Somewhat interesting. Julia and Tiffany Stratton. If that actually ends up happening as well. So that's kind of the breakdown of where we're at so far headed into WrestleMania. But there was a lot of news about WrestleMania weekend that happened this week too. When it comes to the Hall of Fame, Jeff Hawkins, we got new inductees coming. One, you're going to break to me because I have not been able to guess who it is and I have not looked. But the one I'm really excited about, like I would love to say they're booking this Hall of Fame class for me, but really they're not. There's one name. It's Psycho Sid. Sid is going in 2 years too late, but he is going in nonetheless.
As is Bad News Brown.
Bad News Brown. Oh, I was so close. Jeff Hawkins tells me in a chat that it's BNB going in to the Legacy Wing, and I'm like, Bad News Barrett? Seems kind of odd that he would be going in. I don't know these BNBs.
And then you said Bad News Bischoff, which I was like,
is it time for Bischoff to go in? I mean, Eric Bischoff is going to go in at some point, I think. And you better do that one quick in the next few years as
well.
Well,
it's ridiculous for both of these guys to go into the legacy wing when Demolition is going into the regular wing. But all the legacy wing means is they're dead, and we don't want to mention to you that they're dead. That's what the legacy wing means.
Because these guys won't get family member speeches or anything like that.
Correct.
We're not getting a speech from Sid or Bandeuce Brown. We're just, they're in the Hall of Fame. They're in there. But oddly enough, we're going to get a speech probably from Dennis Rodman.
Yes. Although Sid deserves the pop on a video package for Sid would be awesome.
Well, play the video package. That's what we used to do when we were in the glory days, if you can call it that. Actually, I don't think the WWE Hall of Fame ever really took place during the glory days of a WrestleMania. Because like the glory days of WrestleMania being up to 2002 of your Attitude Era fandom.
Yeah.
And then the John Cena era, we had Hall of Fames, but I always loved the video package announcements because it was a video package of 2.5 minutes when they were announcing someone. Now it's just, hey, Sports Illustrated broke the news. ESPN broke the news. TV Guide broke the news.
Bleacher Report saying that Bad News Brown is going into the Hall of Fame.
I do like the Undertaker gimmick of him being the guy who personally lets people know they're going in. He did it with Stephanie. He did it with AJ Styles. He called. They did the Zoom calls with Demolition. I like that gimmick. But afterwards, you know what you could do? Play a 2-minute video package to some Coldplay song about how these guys made an impact in wrestling.
Yeah. Bad News Brown had one of my favorite WrestleMania moments when after the Battle Royal to begin the show, he turned on Bret Hart, ghetto blasted him, and then broke a trophy over him, which then cemented Bret Hart's babyface turn. Also was watching a clip earlier today of Bad News Brown on Arsenio Hall's old talk show where he's in the middle of that Jake the Snake feud and he's acting all big and tough and then Arsenio takes out a snake and Bad News Brown just sells it. It was great and stupid, but it was still stupid, but I always liked Bad News Brown, Bad News Allen, whatever you want to call him.
Okay, and before we get into this MJF news that's breaking, you had another one that you wanted to make mention of. We had a passing in the world of wrestling recently.
Yeah, Dennis Condrey of the Midnight Express. During our time when we did the 100 greatest matches, I think we had at least a Sweet Stan Lane Midnight Express match, but I think we also had a Dennis Condrey Midnight Express match, and I am a person of whom the Dennis Condrey Midnight Express, in retrospect, I think is a better team than the Sweet Stan. The Sweet Stan one is slicker, him and Bobby Eaton. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot more fan-friendly. But Dennis Condrey is always the guy I think of when you think hillbilly community theater. That's what wrestling is. He has the scarves around the neck and the legs. He's scuzzy. Which, you know, he has body hair. He's not exactly jacked to the gills, but he's tough. He's the first guy I ever saw do a Mrs. Full Nelson slam on the ground. And like their gimmick was always awesome. They'd come into a territory. Jim Cornette would introduce, you know, twin sons of different mothers, all this other stuff. They'd come and they would just beat the crap out of jobbers and stuff. And, you know, and then they'd go cut a 30-second promo where Cornette just talked all the time. But those matches against the Fantastics and Crockett were something.
Yeah, number 82 on the WWE matches to see before you die. Not even WWE, just best matches to see before you die. It was the Midnight Express versus the Fantastics from NWA Clash of the Champions.
Clash of Champions 1, the opener, yeah. That would be the match I would pick. But but he was also like, he was a carny. I mean, he left before the first Crockett Cup, maybe the second one, and that's when they had a choice to replace him with either Sweet Stan or Tom Pritchard, and they chose Sweet Stan. And then when they did the original Midnight Express, which was a hot angle coming in with Paulie Dangerously, him and Randy Rose, left before the Loser Leaves Town match because he's like, not doing the job, and I don't like Jim Herd. So they replaced him with Jack Victory, which was kind of anticlimactic, but I was always a big fan of Dennis Condrey. Just wanted to take a couple moments, and now you can get back into your thing.
So Brian Myers runs this promotion. Speaking of Brian Myers, as we were earlier, the former Kurt Hawkins runs a promotion called Create a Pro.
Yes.
In New York, an event in May of this year, on May 1st, the main event of that show is going to be Nick Nemeth of TNA versus MJF of AEW, MJF potentially being the AEW world champion on this show. We are getting in the indies MJF versus Nick Nemeth. This takes me back a lot of those times where it's like, oh my gosh, this is promotion versus promotion because it's on the indies. But this is one of AEW's biggest stars and obviously one of TNA's biggest stars going at it. What do you think about MJF and Nick Nemeth at Creative Pro?
Well, that would explain why MJF was cutting a Twitter promo today about whatever that show with LaGreca is that Nick Nemeth does. Look, as a character, the Dolph Ziggler Nick Nemeth has never been anything to me, really. He's a nice enough guy. I think he's a pretty darn good wrestler, though. So I'm kind of here for it. I kind of want to see this, to be honest with you. I think he's going to show out to show up or show up to show out or however you say it. I think that's going to be a hell of a match, to be honest with you.
Very well could be. And the days of the indies, bringing together superstars that you never thought possible to be in the ring, possibly coming back here with these TNA versus AEW guys. Another thing I wanted to bring up is at WrestleMania. So I'm not even sure. I haven't looked because it's going to be one of those things where, okay, it's Friday night. It's SmackDown. Will I even watch SmackDown? Definitely not going to stay up till at 11 o'clock to watch the start of a WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know if the Hall of Fame is going to stream anywhere. And if it does, probably on the YouTube channel of WWE at like 11 o'clock at night Eastern. I don't know if they've officially announced anything where it is going to air. Maybe they air it on delay. Maybe it airs on Netflix. Who knows? But something that is going to air on Netflix from WrestleMania weekend, and a little nervous about this one because of the way last year's WrestleMania roast went, we are going to have Kill Tony WrestleMania. Now, it's not going to air live. It's going to be recorded and then air on Monday. For the best of all intentions here, that's the way you should do it. I feel like heavily edited. This is not so much a roast of wrestlers in WrestleMania as it is just a Kill Tony with WWE wrestlers involved. So hopefully no one says anything. But one of the big events. They're doing it again. Tony Hinchcliffe hosting an event WrestleMania weekend.
It's fine because it's not a roast. I've been talking about this today. It's funny. I had people lecturing me about Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm like, dude, I was in the LA comedy scene at the same time those guys were coming up. Don't lecture me about who they are and what they do. Look, there is a small contingent in WWE that loves to do the comedy theater kid stuff. Sami Zayn famously does this little thing with him and Kathy Kelly and a couple other people who live out here in LA who are in the act, who have the acting bug. A couple of them have the stand-up bug. A couple of them, this will cure all their things. This will be bits, I think. I don't think anybody's going off script in this thing because of the cluster that was the roast. It'll be fine. It'll be lame. People will read too much into certain things about the Kill Tony guys and what they think their politics are or aren't, when really they're just a bunch of edge lords who try and get a rise out of people. I'm sure they're going to try and push the boundaries of that, and those will probably get edited at some point. But it's going to be like R-Truth, Miz, maybe LA Knight, Kathy Kelly, Sami Zayn, those kinds of people in it. And they'll be probably doing stand-up or something written for them, and then they'll get, you know, cheered or jeered on whatever panel Kill Tony decides to do for this. It'll be fine. It'll be lame. It's called crossover. That's all it is. It's just corporate crossover because Kill Tony's on Netflix and WWE's on Netflix. That's it. That's the list.
If you think after 4 hours of WrestleMania Saturday, 4 hours of WrestleMania Sunday, and then a 3 hour, 2.5 hour Raw happening on Monday night, that's usually one of the biggest Raws, that I'm giving an hour to Tony Hinchcliffe on a Monday in between that during baseball season, you're insane.
It's not even going to air Monday, is it? It's going to be edited and then released later. Or is it going to be like taped on Friday? It's going to be taped on Friday. That's when they're going to tape it.
Well, I think they're taping it Friday or Saturday. Something like that. They're taping it one of those days. But it's right now scheduled to air on Monday, April 20th. So the day after WrestleMania Sunday. You get Tony Hinchcliffe.
I'm not watching that. No.
That's your deal right now. Well, Jeff Hawkins, if you ever write an autobiography, we all know what it's going to be called. It's Fine.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.